So welcome to the Mud Brothers Podcast. You're here today with Rico Moore, who's back from a brief hiatus, and yours truly, Dave Claxton. How's it going, Rico?
Hey, good. Give a shout out to the tribe. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, life got in the way, as it always does, and we ended up a little busy. So, but we're back and we're going to carry on. And today we're going to talk with Claire Schurling, who is, for lack of a better term, I guess, race director and head honcho in charge of the Marion Maid Challenge. How are you doing, Claire?
I'm good. I'm still recovering from this weekend, actually.
So when was
this weekend? Oh.
Well, yeah, we just wrapped up the second Marion Maid Challenge, which came off the heels of, I guess, about 4 months ago. We had our first one ever, and I'm in a unique situation at Marion Military Institute because I'm dealing with a lot of different authority figures that try to make it unbelievably impossible to execute a race event without having too many cooks in the kitchen. So yeah, we're just wrapping up race production right now over here at the Marion Maid Challenge.
That's awesome. I see the posts on Facebook and I'm always so jealous that I can't make it, because I think the course looks amazing. So like, my first question, Claire, is what possessed you to take this on?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I didn't think you were going to ask that.
I'm good with these things. I've been practicing.
You did not prep me for that one. Well, honestly, it was just straight up passion right off the bat. When I started working at Marion Military Institute, I work marketing and public relations there. We were in the process of talking about putting in a short course, which is 14 obstacles. It's a Navy SEAL inspired BUDS course. And I actually helped secure some funding from alumni to put this like massive course in to further develop our cadets, just because I thought it was cool. And then around the same time that the course was going in, I read Noah Galloway's book and was reading about how his life was really turned around after he's a veteran that had lost two limbs and over in Iraq. And I read his book about how his life just changed after getting back and dealing with depression when he got into OCRs. And I had just moved to Marion, and I had been actually really active my whole life, self-trained. And then I was just bored in this tiny small town in Alabama. And so it just seemed like it was kind of meant to be. It was like, we've got this course going in. I went and ran one or two races and was immediately hooked. And then I saw what it would do for like cadets that didn't have that kind of experience. So many of them had never even heard of an OCR. A lot of times people think that all of our cadets are in like great shape, but there's also some that are just civilians that haven't ever really been pushed outside of their comfort zone. And so I wanted to show them that like fitness was fun and that they could be healthy and happy and do stuff that they really didn't believe was possible. And because that's what OCRs did for me. And I kind of just wanted to share that, that gift of, obstacle course racing with as many people as possible. Really including this small rural town, Alabama, where I am right now, there's a problem with people being overweight. And it's kind of, at first I was like the weird girl in town because I would go to the grocery store wearing workout clothes. But now people are starting to embrace it because they realize like, hey, like I don't have to just be a couch potato. Like I can still have fun while I'm trying to get in shape. So that's a really long answer to your question.
No, that's a great answer. That's very thorough. And it's awesome that you're affecting fashion trends in Alabama, because it's great that everybody wants to go to the grocery store in their tights and not in horribly uncomfortable pants. It's you're way better off in your workout clothes.
Well, I'm not gonna lie. It took a couple of years for the ladies to get used to it.
But now it's no worries. That's my favorite thing to do, is wear tights at Walmart.
I think your community is more accepting up there in Huntsville.
Yes, many a times I've gotten friend requests after I got back home.
Short shorts.
Yes. Yeah, the short shorts, definitely.
So, Rico, go ahead, Rico.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you ran the one 4 months ago, did you not? Like, you've been on the Marion Maid course, have you not?
Oh, yes, I did. And, I tell you, from the thing, you know, there's so many different venues, and sometimes people are just too married to the brand names, and just, you know, going into the Marion Maid Challenge, I just found it as one of the most pleasantly big surprise of just how challenging it was for me. You take what the course gives you, and it was a very fast course, and hats off to Claire and the whole Military Institute. I mean, it was just a one that was, first of all, it was a beautiful setup. I mean, just going to the campus and just seeing the history, and I got a chance maybe 2 weeks before the event to go down there and help Claire film and test some things out and just look at the course, and she just gave us a great tour of the facility and just the rich heritage it had. So you had a sense of pride running through that also, knowing how many people, whether they're going into the military or just going into another career, having that challenge and the background of the Military Institute. And because it was a very, very fast course, and I had to go against a lot of the young bucks, you know, the military cadets. So that was a good thing too, because, you know, when I ran it, there was no age group, there was no masters. Like, hey, everyone line up and you just go, you know. And so throughout the course, it was, you know, I was in between two or three cadets the whole time. And I think it was a little under, maybe it was about 3 miles, but the whole time those cadets made me work. And it was worthwhile at the end. And the train was good. It was fast. We had some hills. The obstacles tested not only just your strength, but agility, endurance. There's some natural obstacles with some creeks, and I think it rained previously that time as well. And, you know, there's plenty of good stations with waters. The volunteers were there encouraging. I love the gauntlet at the end. Claire, you might be able to help me. I think at least maybe going through 10 obstacles at the, you know, towards the finish line. And so it made you work and fight towards the end. And Claire was emceeing the whole thing. And, you know, I can imagine being anxious and nervous, especially with the tribe being there, her family. And it was a great experience. I hated that I missed the second one. I had other engagements. But, no, that's definitely, you know, you have some name brands, but there's some that you say, I'm going to do every year, like the Barbarian Challenge in Gadsden, but definitely the Marion Maid Challenge is going to be blocked off my schedule the next time she has it. That's a definite venue to go.
So two questions jump to mind here for me. First, Rico, one, did you beat the young cadets? Like, did you whoop them? Did you put it to them?
You know, I had to show this, the old man still has it.
Oh, yeah.
I came in second overall. I jumped the gun. I was out first place, but I went off course, like almost a quarter of a mile off course.
Oh,
and I was like, yeah, man, look at me. I'm leaving behind. I better pace myself. Then I hear, Rico, you're going the wrong way. I'm like, oh, man. So, you know, gave them a little head start. I had to catch up with the pack. And, you know, I was third and fourth throughout. And, you know, that was I said, very challenging mentally, you know, that, you know, I heard one cadet and a heck of a great attitude and very courteous and respectful, but I could hear him breathing behind me the whole time, and was able to catch the guy who was in second place at the obstacles. I won't ever say, I'm probably in the middle of the pack right around, I think I said that before with you, me, Dave. Yep. But, you know, obstacles, I've just been blessed that's something that just comes naturally to me. So I was able to catch the second place cadet at the obstacles, and but not enough kick at the end to get first place. But again, it was one of those things where you just go and you run and what the race gives you. So it was a great honor and a privilege to, you know, have them in the midst and, you know, running with those cadets.
If it makes you feel better, Rico, the cadet that beats you, well, there's two things. One, Rico is being kind. There was a little bit of a problem where the course was not quite perfectly marked because one of our guys wasn't stationed where he should have been. But the cadet that beat you is he's now currently at West Point up there at the United States Military Academy. So he's about to be a future officer in the Army. Wow. But he also, like, his very first OCR ever, which was actually Bone Frog in Talladega, Jacob Casale is the kid who won. Well, I shouldn't say he's a kid, young man. But he had never even run an OCR, and I think he placed, like, in the top 20 at Bone Frog.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
It's a pretty good debut.
Yeah. Yes. But, yeah. But you would have beat him if he hadn't gotten off course. So you ran a heck of a race. And it's actually 14 obstacles at the end. It's brutal. I just did it. Yes. I still have a bunch of bruises all over me.
And that was my question, too, is, as Rico stated, he said about the gauntlet at the end. But maybe you can get to that. But just describe to me the whole layout of the course. Like I'm a bit of a course map guy. I like to know the layouts and everything. I'm a bit technical that way.
Me or Rico?
You, Claire.
Oh, okay. Well, we changed it from last year to this year. So what Rico ran is a little bit different, but there's still similar elements and it's somewhat following the same path. It was longer this year and we added more obstacles. This is not so even though the distance is just over a 5K, it was about 3.5 miles. It's not a sprint because of the amount of obstacles that we have. You have to have a lot of endurance and overall body endurance. So there's the start is like any good race director. I was instructed by Cal Burr. He came down and helped me kind of sort a few things out. But, you know, you really have to weed them out. So you start them off running. And so we hit the golf course at Marion Military Institute right off the bat. And then we get them straight into the mud to, like, you know, weed out the guys who don't like getting all in the creepy mud. And our mud's not like pretty mud. Like this is like gnarly,
Alabama
sliding
clay.
Down. Well, yeah, it's like Alabama clay and there's vines everywhere and, you know, spiders and frogs. Rico hates frogs.
Yeah, I would have DQ'd or give up my ban right there.
But so we send him through basically a couple of really nasty trenches where through the center of the golf course where we're actually doing some renovations. So they're going down and up really muddy hills that are about 10 to 12 feet high. We drop a few ropes just in case someone can't get up. But this year they're even steeper. And then we hit some hard hills. And on the golf course, it's tire pulls and cinder block carries and a lot of running. And we use tons of the natural obstacles. So if anyone's a race director out there and they're thinking about setting a course, I've been really blessed to have a lot of like natural obstacles here at Marion Military Institute. So use them, like turn your course over a creek, make them run through it, make them jump over a path, because it just adds to it and it thins people out, especially at the beginning. Because then we go straight into a stadium section, and we call this the meat grinder. It's called Murphy's Meat Grinder.
Excellent.
Colonel Murphy was the founder of Marion Military Institute back in 1842. So it's like almost 200-year-old school. And the stadium is a beat down. You start off, you get into the stadium section crawling through a trench under some barbed wire, and you go straight to pull-up bars after crawling through kind of a muddy area. And you've got to crank out some pull-ups. If you don't do them right and you're in the elite heat, you're doing burpees. If you can't do them and you're open, you're doing burpees. Straight to tire flips. And they're not small tires. They're really big ones. You're going to be doing 6. And then a couple of the little things, and you're hitting a really heavy stadium carry with a sand bucket. So right after all of that, where your grip is kind of maxed and your legs are kind of maxed from all the stadium and the carrying the buckets and the tire flipping, we put in a new obstacle. It's a really cool rig that was kind of inspired by Get a Grip at Bone Frog and also combined with battering ram from Savage Race. So it's a rig that's got like a lot of multi straps and some poles that you've got to get through. You guys would love it. I think y'all would kill it. Please come down and play on our new little rig.
It's a long drive.
Yeah, it's a little of a long drive from Canada.
Yeah.
But anyways, I don't want to like bore everyone to death.
No, keep going.
Okay, cool. So that's like the meat grinder. I mean, because it's literally back to back to back to back obstacles. And by the time you get done with that bucket carry and the rig, you're pretty gassed. So obviously we've got Powerade and water at the station right there just to get people fueled back up, because then they're going to go for a bit of a run where they go through this really beautiful part of our old campus. They're running past like bell towers and cannons. They run underneath an airplane.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. They hit some barbed wire crawls. We put in a new inverted wall that's actually about 8 feet, maybe 10, actually. I need to double check. And then we're going right through, like, literally the center of campus, right up to our historical chapel. And it's just kind of cool. That part's pretty neat. I'm thinking about adding in some fun elements the way that Bone Frog does with the honor wall. We've got cadets' names that have been carved on this wall for like 200 years almost. So that might be something we throw out there in the future. And the biggest addition this year was we take them down to what's called the Swamp Fox Pit. And that's when we're taking them off of this beautiful campus and into some like really nasty, gnarly woods. That's literally like kind of a swampy area. And you're hitting some walls there. You actually hit some rings. And it's just a kind of a neat, it's just a neat little area in the woods. And basically, I don't want to bore you guys, but we head back with a few more obstacles and cut through back up to the main obstacle course where all of the action is happening. It's the start and the finish. So back they do a fire jump and some rope climbing and stuff like that. They're crawling in through a lot of mud. I get them really, really muddy right before we get to the 14 back-to-back-to-back obstacles.
14, and, that's phenomenal. That is, like I said, that's a gauntlet.
It is, and it's a fine line. I'm constantly, like, the nights and weeks before worried about too hard versus doable, because, you know, you've got to accommodate all different levels of fitness. We want everyone to feel welcome, but I want to really push our elite athletes and like our competitive guys. And I think that we figured out a really good combination. So once they get back up to the obstacle course, they are hitting, well, if you want, I can go through them all.
Yeah, nail it.
Okay. Right off the bat is hand walk. And then you go into just two walls.
Okay, sorry, Claire. What's hand walk?
It's like two poles that are right next to each other, and you kind of like have to jump them.
Okay, like parallel, like gymnastic parallel bars.
Yes, exactly.
All right, cool.
And then we have two walls. One's a little bit lower, and one's a little bit higher, but they're very close together, so you can't get a running start.
Nice.
So, yeah, so you're up and over those to a rock wall. It's made all of wood, so it's kind of slick, especially if it's wet or if you're muddy, which you are.
Yeah.
And then we've got two different sides. One's for shorter people, and it doesn't mean that it's easier. One is just kind of for an average height person. The one that's for the shorter people is actually harder for me because it kind of messes up the way my weight is balanced. And then we're going into a really nice big belly buster. So you guys know what
that is, right? Gut buster, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So this one's pretty big. I don't know if it's big as, is it as big as Barbarians? I'm not sure, but it's big. And that's kind of a fear factor because a lot of people have to sort of jump for their life to get up there. Then down into a sandy crawl, and right from the sand, you actually have to jump up on the monkey bars, which seems like nothing, but your hands are really slick from the sand. So if you ever run my course, make sure you wipe your hands off before you hit the bars. And we have big fat bars, kind of like the Spartan bars, like they're really fat grip. So the bars to a rope bridge to a cargo net where you're going up and over. And then we have a rope traverse. So, you know, you're kind of crawling across the rope and then you hit a really big gnarly weaver. Our weaver, yeah, it's a big one.
It's the worst weaver I've seen.
Yeah, actually, Rico.
One of the best weavers you've seen.
Yeah, Rico's done our weaver. It's really, really big. Like, so this is such an endurance test. I mean, Sarah? I think Sarah Irvine was like, that thing literally takes your soul. It's a tough weaver. It's made out of 4x4s.
Oh, yeah.
Navy SEAL, military grade obstacle course. So this weaver is hard and the edges aren't all smooth and nice. They're rough. They cut you. You're bruised up. Like you look gross when you get done. And then from that, it's kind of easy. You just hit a little balancing because you're dying from that point. You hit a little balancing beam type thing. Then you hit like a rope swing to some tires and finally you finish off with vaults where you crumble across the finish line and a pretty cadet puts a medal on your neck.
Oh, that didn't happen to me.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Oh. We upgraded this year, Rico.
Yeah, you did. Definitely.
Yeah, nobody said there would be pretty cadets. If there's pretty cadets, I'm on my way.
Yeah. Well, there are. Yeah. She's on the golf team.
So
that's one thing. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say
something.
Go ahead. Sorry, Rico, go ahead.
Oh, that's right. So did a cadet take first again this year?
No, actually, a cadet did not take first, but a cadet took second. And I assume we're talking about the elite heat. Took second, yeah. Okay. So, and actually, I was really proud of him. He's our team captain. Good kid. He really helped us. The thing that's different about our course than anything else is that this is not run by some big corporate company. And I'm not saying that to deter anyone else from other races. It's just that no one's getting paid to do this. It's all cadets really. And then myself and Lieutenant Colonel Martin, who's a Green Beret, he's kind of my partner, my helper on this thing. Excuse me. So, I was really proud of, his name is Jared Weller and he got second and he worked really hard on the race last year. And, I'm just pumped he won second this year.
Who did the overall win?
I can't remember off the top of my head. Sorry, you were awesome though. and this is what post-race fatigue looks like.
Oh, yeah. I don't blame you.
So it wasn't a tribesman?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
See, Rico, you let her down. You should have been there.
I know. Oh, gosh.
So this sounds like an awesome course to me. Like, it sounds incredibly difficult, but Rico, as you've been on it, like, how would you pin this for difficulty compared to something else?
I tell you, it's definitely a fast course. You might not have the four hills of apocalypse from the Barbarian Challenge in Gadsden, but we do have the mud, and that is a big equalizer, you know, that you do hit that golf course and you feel kind of good, you know. Actually, you don't feel good because that's, you know, the first quarter mile, everyone's heart rate is just racing, you know, and you're just trying to balance out, you know, if you're going too fast or not. But then, bam, you get in that mud. I'm telling you, it's like knee, thigh high mud, and it's going to sap your energy, she says. And to get out of it, you have to crawl, up this hill or, you know, use a rope, she says. And, you know, when I went through, you had to go through these huge pipes. And so then you don't get a recover because then you're, I think in my race, you had to pull some tires.
You still do.
Yeah.
You go straight up a hill and then pull tires.
I never got into a comfortable form because that first mile, you're still, you're trying to recover from the mud, the hills, the carries, the going through water. Then you hit that stadium, the meat grinder, and you've got tire flips, pull-ups, the bucket carry, and then you get a nice reprieve kind of to try to get a rhythm because you're going to that beautiful campus. But then you're kind of separated and you know where you are. So by that time I knew, okay, I see second in front of me and there's a guy behind me. So it was one of those like, you know, this sucks. Cause you know, there's no relaxing. And, so I put up there as again, one of my, I think, you know, I have Savage and see, I haven't done that many this year as compared to last year. I did 20 something, the year before. This year I've done maybe 6, but the Mary Maid challenge is just, I think anyone should come up there and, you know, don't be fooled because it's not a name brand or like that. You know, it's going to, if you're an avid OCR person, you're going to say, yeah, I agree. It's like you and I, Dave, talked about balance. You know, if you think you're just fast and, oh yeah, this is flat, I'm going to kill everybody. Well, if you're not prepared for the mud or the heavy carries, it can equalize that way, you know. Or again, I was, you know, in my mind, okay, you know, third's not that bad. Okay, you know, I can move a third. But, you know, once I got to the obstacles and I saw that guy, you know, like within striking range, and I saw like, okay, you know, if he makes one mistake, I got him. You know, unfortunately, you know, he was not as equipped as I was for obstacles. So, as one of those courses, I walked away and didn't complain about, well, it's a runner's course or it had this and that. You know, it was a good, great balance of everything. So it's a, again, for the first inception, I'm pretty sure it got better. The second time around, it's, I love it because it's home state. It's from the tribe or tribe member. But yeah, it's a fantastic race.
Well,
thanks, Ben.
I sit here and I listen, and I mean, I just did a Spartan last weekend, I think it was, and I listened to the description of this course and how difficult and how challenging, how to me it sounds like an obstacle course. I did the Spartan, and I'm going to do one of my favorite things, which is slag Spartan. And if I describe that course, I essentially ran 6K, yeah, did a set of monkey bars and a set of rings, and there we go. I love the fact that people are starting to put together real courses that are actually challenging, where the obstacles mean something. I've gone to too many, and again, like I said, slag and Spartan, too many Spartans where the obstacles don't mean anything. They're so simplistic and so easy, and even if you can't do it, you whip off 30 burpees, and if you're a fast runner, you're going to win. Sorry, go ahead, Claire.
No, I was just going to say, that's awesome. That makes me really happy to hear you say that, because sometimes I worry about not being as shiny and, you know, I don't know, as pretty as all the big name brand courses. But to hear someone say that they want something that has more meaning, the new multi-rig that we put together is, it was made by a lieutenant colonel who's a Green Beret, retired. And, it's literally called, Colonel Martin's Revenge.
That's fantastic. I love it.
So it's like, when it comes to like personal, like these obstacles are personal. And actually the wood, a lot of the wood was repurposed from, our old rappelling tower, which we just replaced with a brand new one, thanks to some alumni. So it's like, we don't have a starting budget. When we do this, everything we have to do, we have to raise money for to run our race, because it's like all for profit. So wherever we could find something, we would. And so we were like, hey, this is excellent wood still. It was all pressure treated. Like, let's make some new obstacles out of it. So we made it an inverted wall, and we made Colonel Martin's Revenge.
All right, well, you gotta lay that out. What is it? You gotta lay out that rig for me, because like I'm gonna have visions in my head of what it is.
it's the strap one with the poles. That so it's like kind of like it's a little bit like Get a Grip. Have you done Bone Frog?
No, sadly, I'm up here in the north, and we have nothing. Sadly,
yeah, you guys don't get that one up there as much. Well, it's so. A lot of people call it like the toilet paper roll rig, because they've got these, they've got like kind of utilitarian straps, and they've got piping on it.
Okay, I think I've seen it online.
Yeah, like there's some really great athletes, like Dawn from the tribe or Rachel that had trouble with it. Like, I mean, I couldn't even do it. And anyway, they have the piping just rolls and rolls and rolls. And so your grip is just kind of shot. A lot of people that succeeded grabbed the straps. And then those girls were able to succeed by grabbing the straps and like kind of not grabbing onto the actual pipe. And so that's where we got inspired to do this rig that's just straps. It's not rings. It's just kind of its own thing. And then from the straps, you have to transfer. So you kind of work the straps kind of like they were rings. Mm-hmm. And you transfer to a pipe that's hung actually really high. And we have multiple different sizes, so like different grip strengths. You can kind of pick which one you want. And then you have to traverse this pipe, but it swings. So that's why it kind of reminds you of Battering Ram a bit from Savage Race.
That sounds absolutely awesome. Actually, we have a tribe member, a good friend of mine, Jeff, and he tore his bicep on that Get a Grip Bone Frog rig. So that's what triggered my mind is to actually having seen it before. It looks pretty challenging in its own right. So, I would love to try that. That's some great stuff. You made me think. What was penalties for non-completion of obstacles?
Well, we just went with 10 burpees because I want to make this, the course is hard enough. For example, I had like my little girl, her kindergarten teacher, who she just lost 100 pounds and she ran the race and it was her first OCR ever. So it's like, you know, I've got almost 40 obstacles if you're counting all the ditches and hills and all that stuff. And it's hot. I was like, I don't want to give them too hard of a penalty because I didn't want to scare people off. So we just did 10 burpees and that's it. And the lead heat had to wear wristbands. So the cadets knew as they're coming through that there are certain things they couldn't do. Like they can't use like the little, you know, kind of toe holds and stuff that we put on an inverted wall. Like they had to just go up like without any kind of assistance, but I tried to make it accessible as well for sort of just the average Joe. Cause I wanted them to not feel completely like beaten down.
No, that's a tough tightrope to walk, to make it challenging for elites and yet welcoming for newbies. That's tough. And I get where you went with the 10 burpees. Me, I'd have been a little meaner myself and possibly will be, but yeah, as long as it delays them and just puts the emphasis on the obstacle completion being important, that's just something that I, you know, pet peeve of mine. So what was probably like, what were your biggest obstacles in overcoming trying to set this up? Like what, you know, I mean, to just, and I'm experiencing this, to just set one of these up out of the blue is a lot. What for you was the biggest obstacle to overcome, and what was difficult in the organization process?
Well, I would say that my situation is probably a little bit different than most race directors because we are a college. I work for the college. And I mean, I have a normal like 9-to-5 with the school as well as mom and wife and all that, but that wasn't so much the thing. It was, our college is run by the state, so we're dealing with a lot of red tape in regards to, well, making sure that every colonel and general and sergeant and everybody was on board with what was going on. It just took the first year, it took a long time to get everything approved.
And you can slag them. They'll never hear this.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm like, can I say this? Sorry, sir. I'm just going to go ahead and shout that out there. Sorry, let me. Mary McCain. Sorry, that's my daughter. She's way up past her bedtime. This is what happens after you host a race. You forget your schedule. Anyway, so now the biggest thing was dealing with some red tape. And I've talked to other race directors that have had an issue with like dealing with city codes and stuff like that. So that was my first hurdle. To be perfectly honest, I think it's actually really doable. It's if you are passionate enough and you like you understand teamwork and you understand how to get people motivated. Well, and you also need to have some skills in regards to like securing sponsorship. It's very doable, but to me the biggest thing was just the time frame. I from the very beginning they told me yes literally about a month and a half before our projected race day. So I had to just throw it together in the first year. This year, again, it was a time frame issue where the cadets were only on campus for a month until we had our race, and they are like 99% of my workforce. And so I didn't have a chance to actually like build any, a lot of relationships with these new kids on campus because they are going through an intensive training cycle. And so literally 2 days before the race, I'm saying, hi, my name is Miss Sherling. Welcome to the OCR club. great. We're going to go and mark some trails. So this year, that was my biggest hurdle. Last year, it was getting all the colonels to butt out. I'm a girl, which is, apparently, I don't know. I don't know if there's a lot of race directors that are girls, but this last race, there was a couple of issues with me completely being overridden several times on race day about where water stations are by people who've never run a race, let alone a 5K. And so I'm saying, hey, I don't care if you have a bunch of stars. we need this water station here because people are going to get heat exhaustion if they don't like rehydrate after the meat grinder. So those are internal battles. I just like totally aired our dirty laundry. And the other big thing for us is actually, was we had an issue with timing this year. So apologies to some of the guys that were affected by that. We've worked out the kinks on it. Time is expensive. It's very expensive. We're 100% not-for-profit race. And, I've already come up with a game plan, which is to not let anyone else handle it, but people I put in charge of it. And the timing was a little bit tricky, but other than that, I think that we had a pretty good race.
Well, that does sound amazing. So did you guys have to hire like an outsourced timing company to do that for you?
Some people do. We just don't have it in our, you know, our starting budget. So there, and also our location is an issue. We're very remote. So most races I think should hire a timing system, if they can. But for us, it's really, we're a smaller race. We can only handle a certain amount of volume. So no, we did it internally and it was just a miscommunication with personnel. So that was the biggest issue with our timing this year.
So did you just do like a mass start and then a end of the clock at the, when they cross the finish line kind of deal?
No, we had elite heat and then we had, two open waves and then we had a cadet wave after that. And also a kids race as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That could make, so, that can make timing difficult for that. Well, with multiple waves and everything.
Yeah, I think next time I will definitely just have the open heat, depending on our volume, just all be collected into one. That would make it a lot easier.
All right, so go ahead, Rigo.
Well, you know, for next year, I want to throw something out at you because I know there's definitely going to be a next one. Has the thought of team challenge crossed your mind?
Ooh, I like that.
I love the idea, but I'm a bit of a perfectionist, and we haven't executed what we've got going on yet perfectly. Not that it'll ever be perfect, but you know what I mean? I'm not ready to throw a new thing out there. Each year I'm dealing with a new group of cadets, and so I think that, and also we're working on a crunch time frame. I only get to work with them during the school year. So in May, they're gone and they're not back on campus until August, like the end of August. They're gone all of December almost. So I think I kind of want to stick with like this good thing that we have going, but I love the idea of doing that. And, you know, it's, I think if, it could be something that we could do if we did it on a smaller scale, kind of, but I also don't want to steal Mark Ballas's thunder because he has a pretty cool team challenge thing going on with the Green Beret Challenge.
that's a pretty excessive thing, that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think it'd be great for, especially with your cadets too. Maybe even if you're not even opening it to the public yet, to do it with your cadets.
Oh, I would love that. Actually, yeah, that's a great idea. Maybe you can come help me.
Yeah, love to do that.
That would be awesome.
I think we could throw down like an old man team challenge of like Rico, myself, and maybe some others against some of those cadets. I think that'd be fun.
Oh yeah,
I would love that, and I think the kids would too. The greatest thing about having this race is like bringing this generation of athletes, and I'm not calling us old, but we are older athletes.
I'm old,
and I love. I love seeing the kids, their faces are just like, holy mackerel, like, look at those guys, like, they're tearing it up, and I'm like, yeah, like, that's my friend, she's 40 years old, like, what do you think about that? And they're like, I can't even do that, and they get inspired by it, so that would be really fun, actually. Yes, we will do a team challenge. All right.
Yeah. We'll get up.
So, and I'm going to ask Rico first, as from an athlete's point of view. What is it that you think that Claire has done right with the Merryman Challenge that other races are not doing right? Like, and I'm going to give you a chance to, like, you know, badmouth the other companies, really, in a way. But what is it you think that she's got right that they don't? And afterwards, Claire, I just want you to, you know, tell me what inspired you, like what you thought the other races were missing that you needed to put in your race that you thought would make it stand out and be something spectacular.
Well, yeah, you know, I compare hers to the Barbarian Challenge, where they have a mixture of using the natural elements as obstacles, getting the town support. So their heart is poured into it, whether it's the volunteers from there and the cadets from Marion, and just having that balance. And like you said, you know, all three of us have been in specific, you know, we won't name names of venues where we usually just go in cruise control. Because it's the same thing over and over again. And it's, you know, either a runner's course or obstacle course, or, you know, not a mixture of both. So what she has done right, in my mind, is that, as the name, it is the challenge. You know, I did not get first overall, but I left smiling. You know, the person I finished behind, the person that I was able to catch up, I pushed myself. It pushed me throughout. It really got me out of my comfort zone. Which there's some races, you know, you just, again, you get in cruise control. And I'd rather be challenged than, I pick challenge over winning anytime. You know, I think sometimes when I think of not only Mary May Challenge, or I even think of the Duolator, which, you know, we, you know, the tribe has been a part of, that some people who are quote unquote elite will, you know, it seems like they're turning the nose at it because it's not a name brand, but I think a lot of times, like, kind of like, I might actually lose this one because I'm out of my comfort zone. It's not the same old thing I do from week to week or each month, you know. So I think that's what she's done right, is that she's presented a challenge for her daughter's teacher, who just, you know, first time to someone like me or other tribe members or people who are not in the tribe but run enough elite races that you come and say, okay, this one made me work. And so I think that's what she's doing right, and definitely encourage her to keep on doing that.
And what about you, Claire? What do you think the other guys are doing wrong? It's a long list,
No, it's not in my nature to be critical, because I'm really hard on myself. First of all, thank you, Rico. I really appreciate that. That's really awesome.
You're most welcome.
Well, here's a little dirty secret. I've never run a Spartan. I've never run a Spartan.
Not drink that Kool-Aid, huh?
No, I've never run a Spartan, and it's not because I'm a snob. I would love to try all OCRs. Mostly it's been scheduling conflicts, but I haven't run one. And then there have been a couple of times where I could have maybe pulled one, like, out of, like, impromptu free weekend. And I'm not going to lie, I've kind of not gone because I heard that they have all the same obstacles over and over and over again. And I'm like, well, I definitely want to try it. Like, I definitely want to go do it. Absolutely. I want to go experience that. But I had a really unique introduction to OCRs. I started with Panther Run. That was my very first race. Mm-hmm. And it is a super cool, homegrown race that I really enjoyed. And then I went straight to the Dualator, which actually Rico mentioned. I was totally not prepped for that. It's a it's a gauntlet of back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back obstacles. And then I ran Savage, which I fell in love with. And like at that point, I mean, I was already hooked, but then it was like, okay, this is everything. Not everything, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So if I'm supposed to be critical, I like that we have our own thing. I have a limitation with my distance. For our course, there's only so much land that Marion Military Institute owns. So therefore, and also my biggest hurdle with extending our course as far as distance is we're a fully functioning college. So I can't like take over the golf course and the parade field and the baseball fields because they're in season, you know? So I like the fact that we are a sprint that's really hard. But I guess if I was going to say something that I don't like talking bad about people, but safety is one of the biggest things that I think is important. And there are a couple of races that I feel like I've been to where safety hasn't been the most paramount thing, like straight up front. Like there have been a couple of things that are a little bit sketchy. And so I hope that we will always strive to be like a very safe event. And I don't know. I don't think I can be really critical about any other races. Well, I like that we're unique, and I guess I'm just going to stick with that.
Well, you guys are both super nice. Me, on the other hand, I'm not quite as nice. I'll tell you what I think that you're doing right and they're not. And this is what gets me sometimes, and specifically in whereas Rico's a nice guy, I do like to name names. Whereas Tough Mudder and Spartan, they have this unlimited budget. They can travel to all these different venues. They can do all this different stuff. And like you said, with what you heard about Spartan is very true. Every race is very much the same, just on a different course. You're there at a isolated venue on a bit of a shoestring budget because you're a nonprofit organization. You're going for what's given to you, what you can, you're working with what you can work with, and you're coming up with way more creativity, way more challenge, and way more interesting obstacles than Spartan or Tough Mudder. Now, Tough Mudder does a little better job with the obstacles, but they're still mostly just a lot of mud pits running in and out. You know, you get maybe three decent obstacles out there, and then you're mud pits in and out. You guys, with a fraction of the resources, have pulled out something that is way more interesting and way more challenging. And I'll tell you right now that if I was, you know, I mean, for me to go down there is a 15-hour drive, but if I was going to put my 15-hour drive, I would way sooner go to your event than one of theirs. It just seems far more interesting and challenging. And that's where I think you have the idea, you have the right idea over what they're doing, whereas they're just regurgitating the same thing over and over again to appease they're, as Rico says, the people who have drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, first of all, thank you. I hope to see you 15 hours later at our next race.
well, you know, it's going to be at October Savage.
Yeah.
You can make it there, Claire.
No, I heard. It's the birthday race. I'm working on that.
Yes.
So, you know what? The one thing I have to say that you inspired me to say bad stuff about other races.
That was my hope.
One thing, The one thing I am going to say is that our race has heart. When I love Savage Race, it is like one of my favorite races in the world. And but I do feel like, I mean, there are so many people coming through those doors. You are kind of a little bit of a number, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I love that, like, our race really has heart. Like, we start off, we say the national, like, we have a cadet sing the national anthem. We post the colors, which for non-military folks means, like, the flags are brought out and it's just, like, everyone stops what they're doing and shows respect for the flag. And it's, you know, it's just got a little more heart. The president of our school comes out and he's like, hey, this is pretty cool. We're glad you're here. There's real people there. It's not just like a name brand. And the thing is, I've run awesome races with other like companies. And so my goal is to live up to their awesomeness, but we're just a little bit more homegrown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I like, you know. And but you know, we are the Mud Brothers, you know, that's it. We don't represent anyone else but ourselves. So, you know, we don't like our race, that doesn't mean that you have to listen to us. You know, you can like the race. You know, we're not going to judge anyone because they like Spartan or Tough Mudder, or they don't like this, or they might not even like, you know, the Marion Challenge, you know.
Well, we've got problems too.
So yeah, exactly, you know, to each their own. And so I think, you know, Dave and I will say, you know, we want that challenge, we want to that the unpredictability, you know. And even like, again, you know, Marion May Challenge, you know, you could have very easily just kept it the same, but to add new elements, you know, shows that you know, you're innovative and you want them coming back and never be on cruise control. And you know, Dave, I'm trying to get up there next summer. I gotta save my lunch money.
Yeah, we're still waiting to do the official announcement. Well, I might as well do it right now if you want.
Yeah, I was gonna say, tell us.
So Asylum OCR will officially be launched on June 1st, 2019, and it will be very much a short course and very, very obstacle dense. Essentially, I've designed the course in hopes that it's the best way for me to win.
Only you have the course map.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell anybody any of the obstacles, and I'm going to practice them for a year. It will be a very short course. It will be almost a time trial. There will be, much like in the Marion May Challenge, there will be some fitness aspects, as in workout stations, like your pull-ups and things like that. The obstacles, I assure you, anyone who knows me, will be creative. They will be different, and some of them you will never have seen before and will never see anywhere else. But that's, you know, that's me. I'm Doc Obstacle. I'm going to make some weird stuff for it.
Cool.
There will be, and just briefly, things that there's still a lot of details to iron out. There will be some of the coolest medals you've ever seen. We've got a great medal design, some good shirts, and probably the wristbands as well. That's still up in the air on that, but we're still a bit away. And much like you, it's a small event. It's run by myself and one other guy, and, you know, it's pretty much a two-man show is what it's going to be. So it should be interesting, but we'll have a lot more details to come. We just finally got the venue is locked in stone and ready to go, and we're going from there.
No, it's going to be awesome.
And like you said, Rico, I like to slag Spartan and Tough Mudder a lot. It's quite a fun hobby of mine. But in reality, we wouldn't have this OCR industry without them. And I still go to their events. I still enjoy their events. I will be at TMX this year. I will be at World's Toughest Mudder this year, and I've done two Spartans. It's just the way it is. But with their resources, I like to hold them accountable for what they should be doing with it.
Oh, yeah. Especially, you know, if you go to so many Spartans, you're like, you know, this is my money, so, you know, give me something.
And right there is another thing for cost. And actually, I'll bring this up. And actually, Claire, I should ask you this before I forget. Any idea on when the next race is going to be?
Well, I'm working on it. The thing about being a college campus is that we have special events almost every weekend in the spring. I'm really hoping that next week I'll have a chance to corner the colonels and get them to go ahead and kind of nail down a date. We've got good things in our corner in regards to now that we're a little bit more established. Our overhead is continuing to get lower and lower. T-shirts and medals and those types of things are the biggest expenses for races for us at this point, because we have built most of our obstacles. So I'm hoping with that in my corner, I can get them to say yes to a spring date. It might be early, like early in the season, so maybe a warm-up for everybody before they kick into like the heavy spring races. Mm-hmm. And we'll just have to see. I've got to bob and weave. And also, I'm really, really kind of partial to Jerrion, you know, Mr. Inspiration.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. We're kind of trying to figure out. I'm like, hey, dude, tell me what dates you've got free, and then I'm going to go and talk to all the, like, colonels, and we're going to figure out when we can potentially get them to say yes. So my goal is to have another one. But if not, we will be back. We'll be back for sure. But hopefully we'll have one in the spring.
Well, you know what? I think that might be the perfect way to end this. We're getting close to an hour anyway. And
sorry.
No, that's fantastic. And and just knowing that you guys will be back in the spring, late April, by the way, is pretty good for me, is great, because these smaller independent races, I think, are fantastic, and I think we need them, definitely. Rico, you got anything else?
I'm just very proud of Bayside, and you might have heard me call her that a couple of times. We just found we had a kindred spirit of the old teen show, Saved by the Bell.
Oh, yes,
so
yes.
I just nicknamed her. That's how she got her name, Bayside. That might be on her tribe jersey one day. But I just know that just coming into the tribe and just seeing her heart energy, and just so very proud of her from just being just a support member to just being an inspirer, you know, who's helped so many people that she doesn't realize, getting to OCR in her town and community and just around, and just her voice has been heard, and just, I'm just very amazed and proud of her growth, and just, you know, to say not only is she just a tribe member, but, you know, she's a venue, you know, she's a sponsor, she's a coordinator. So that's pretty cool too.
Well,
thanks, man.
On behalf of the Mud Brothers, Claire, I just want to say thank you for coming on and talking to us. And, you know, I can't wait to get down there and try it. And hopefully everybody out there who listens will get down to Marion Maid and support the Marion Maid College. Is that right? I got it right?
Well, it's kind of confusing. Marion Military Institute.
Marion Military
Institute. Yeah, anyway, you got it.
Uh-huh. We get the idea. Come down there, spend your money, and run an awesome course. That's the main thing.
Yeah. And anyway, if you want to run Spartan, go ahead. We don't care.
Yeah. Anyway, Claire, thank you very much. And to everybody out there, take care, eh? Rico?
All right. Bye, thank you, guys.
You're welcome, Basai. All right, cool. Always.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.